Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Tune In Game Podcast. This is episode 41, and I'm, yes, one of your co-hosts, Nick, Mr. Retro Nick. And join me, as always, Gaz, Lost Ruin.
Good evening.
And always our special guest who always regularly joins us nowadays, and that's Warren.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, it was good to be back, so did everyone have a good Easter?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Kids enjoyed it.
Mm. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Did they colour eggs or just went honey?
Chocolate eggs.
Ah.
Which I've been kind of stealing from the kids. Because they had far too many. They had far too many to eat themselves.
Yeah, you got to help them out, guys, haven't you? I mean,
absolutely.
It's a crime to let them eat all that delicious chocolate by themselves. I mean, you have to help them out a little bit.
So. Yeah.
I certainly do. And it would be irresponsible me as a parent for them to eat that much chocolate on their own. So I'm doing a service to my kids by eating their chocolate for them.
Yeah, the tradition back home, they used to bring their rabbits to me. I used to bite their ears off. Like, all the kids, they line up. Here, Uncle Warren, here are the rabbits. Like, but once I ate too many, I was like, that's okay. I'm sick. So, but yeah. So,
Yes.
So, overall, a good Easter. So, let's crack on the next episode then, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, What were we going to talk about?
Well, the first one, I think it was partly inspired by Warren's comments on the Facebook group, was about a topic about the Microsoft Creative Director. I'm sure you can fill in more about this, but the first topic...
Yes, well, I wanted to say something about this, because this guy, this Microsoft Creative Director, his name is Adam Orff.
Yes.
He's tweeted saying that he's sorry, but he doesn't get the drama about having an always-on console. And always-on basically means online. He doesn't get the drama. He's saying that every device is now always-on, and that's the world we live in. To which people have tweeted, and a guy called Alex Wells tweeted, said that off the top of his head, he knew five people who own 360s but didn't have any internet access, and in them terms they wouldn't be able to play their new console, to which Orff replied, well, those people should definitely get with the time and get the internet. And I just found that a bit disgusting, really, from Microsoft's creative director. I mean, and then somebody tweeted back, a guy called Manveer. I've been doing a bit of research on this, saying, well, the internet does go down from time to time. And Orff tweeted back to him saying, well, electricity goes off from time to time. Yes, but if my internet goes down today, I can still play my console.
Exactly.
I can play it offline, I can still play my console. If my electricity goes down, I can't play anything. My internet goes off. So goes off, but if my internet goes down and it's an always on console, I won't be able to play it, no matter what. So what's the point in having a console that is internet only, or you can only use if you're connected online? And if your internet goes off, what is the point of having a console that is literally dead if you can't use it?
Exactly.
I've had a look at some of the statistics. Now, 94% of America is covered by broadband connectivity.
Yes.
But only 70% of the population have internet. That means 30% of people in America don't have it, which is around about two-thirds, give or take. So a third of the population of America doesn't have the internet.
Which is a fair amount.
Now in the world, 2.3 billion people have the internet, and that is only a third of the world's population.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there is a hell of a lot of people out there who do not have the internet. I'm going to feel free, people who are listening to this, to tweet to this guy his Twitter is at Adam_Orth, O-R-T-H, and tell him what you think of him, because I think he's an absolute tool.
Yes, he is.
If he's like the voice of Microsoft, he's Microsoft Creative Director. I assume that he gets paid well, and he has internet all the time in his home. And for those people who don't have internet, well, they wouldn't have seen this. And
right.
It's just, yeah, and he's probably got super speed internet and yes and this and doesn't have to deal with lag like a lot of people do. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can go and take a long walk off a short pier, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm relating this to, actually, I kind of missed it, and I got on, I think he did this on, like, a Thursday, and I didn't hear about it, I think, until Friday, and, you know, to me, it's like, okay, and actually, I don't know if you know that one big kid named Francis, a friend sent me a video from him, and I was like, okay, why are we still, you know, why are we talking about this, and then I realized what he was talking about, but rewinding this just a little bit, I'm not sure if you're there with the controversy around Dead Rising when that first came out, where they did all the graphics in HD, and if you didn't have an HD TV, you can't read the writing. Not everyone had a giant screen HD TV. I have, to this day, I have not even completed the game because of that, and when the girl starts talking, I don't even read the text because I can't understand it. But when he came back and said, you know, well, you know, people say, well, about people who live in, you know, rural areas, mainly my friends back home, who they do have the internet, but the internet is limited. And then I have friends who live in, I always forget if it's Washington, I think it's Washington State, who have internet, but back in the, you know, in the early 90s, everyone used to be metered, which means you pay $19 a month for 20 hours. Anything over that, you have a surcharge. And there are people who still actually have that kind of internet, you know. And I'm like, for him to say that was crazy. And so, I mean, like you said, you just gave out his Twitter name. And I just read over at Kotaku what he had said about, well, the power goes out. I'm not going to buy a vacuum cleaner. I mean, that just shows his ignorance and arrogance on top of that.
By
reading what he said,
totally,
I went and tweeted him also. And I said, you know, I said, hey.
If the power goes out, I don't buy a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't make sense at all. Exactly. It does not make sense at all. I mean, basically what he's trying to say is that, well, the power goes out. Okay, I won't use anything electronic. Okay. That makes no sense. When you're playing video games, you're trying to relax and enjoy your time. With it being on always, and if you can't use it when the power goes, I mean, when the internet goes down, what's the point? Like you said, what's the point of having it? And by him saying that out in the public like that, at my previous jobs, I've always had to sign a confidentiality contract, which means I can't talk to any news publication, magazine, TV, anything. And, you know, I go ask my employer, like, why would I do something like that? Well, you know, you might be talking to someone and you'll say something not on behalf of the company, your personal interests, and they know you work with the company. That can be used against you to terminate your job. So the first thing I did was I was like, I went and tweeted to him and said, hey, at any of my previous jobs, just saying half of what you just said would have got me terminated. And I cannot speak on, you know, behalf of the company to the media on nothing. That means anything. And even my personal interests, like if I had a company shirt on, like say if me and you want to hang out and maybe we decided to, I don't know, go crazy and go abuse animals and I'm wearing the company shirt, I can get terminated by doing that, or better yet, go get drunk, or just do something that's not, I'll say common sense wise. That's the best way I can say that. And he did this out on Twitter, you know, and I'm like, if it was an inside joke, you know, you have inside jokes where, you know, you only say those jokes inside your little ring. It may be wrong to someone else, but to you guys, you get it. But you don't take that stuff out because if you read some of it before it actually got to where it was at, they're saying, oh, this guy trolled me. And I'm like, wow, that's trolling. You really should have kept it to yourself because you sound inconsiderate and have no sympathy toward people who do not have high-speed internet. And at my previous job, we did have one gentleman that I actually helped him get a PS2, and I bought him God of War 1 and God of War 2 because, you know, he was behind the times, but that's because he had some financial issues, and he also had a motorcycle, which is why he had financial issues. And they weren't bad issues. It was just something, you know, going outside of his realm of biking. And one of our clients were like, who doesn't have high-speed internet? And we were like, we have one right there in the back. You know, don't make jokes. You know, he has 56, you know, he had dial-up. But this gentleman just doesn't understand, you know, not everyone has the same opportunities when it comes to the internet. And always on, there is no reason for it to be always on. They want to say it's for piracy and so forth. You can't stop. I mean, I don't mean to sound bad, but the things that I've seen on the underbelly of piracy, it blows my mind what people go through to do that. And half of them, they don't even do it to play the game. They just do it to say, hey, I can do it. That's all they do it for. And then people who find out about it, they use that reason. Basically, I call it the Jurassic Park effect. They're going to find a way to do it. And once they do, other people are going to take that same research and use it to, you know, break TOS or whatever.
Yep.
So.
Well, this guy's Twitter profile. On his Twitter profile, all it says is he's the creative director at Microsoft Studios. So according to his Twitter page, if he's put that as his profile, he's representing the company.
Yeah, to me. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yes. And now he's actually made his Twitter feed private, so yeah. Nobody can see it. So he clearly knows that he said something wrong, and I hope he's ashamed of what he said. I mean, because at the end of the day, for someone who believes that Always On is, somebody's actually tweeted to him, say, hey, Adam Orr, for someone who believes in Always On, it's hilarious that you've blocked out the entire internet.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, you know, but Microsoft, they actually, they put out an apology, but it's too late. He's done the damage, you know, and if they dare, I mean, even if they were considering doing that, they wouldn't really need to do a test market. Me, I'm already, like you said, if my power goes out and my system can't work, what's the point of having, I mean, not my power, but my internet goes down, and my internet, for some reason, my modem resets itself like every, like, I want to say 13 hours or so. At one time it was at random, and it's really, really not good for me, especially when I'm playing a game like Crackdown, like last night. My system actually overheated, so it shut itself off without warning, but that was really odd. But getting back to the, always on online, I shouldn't have to be connected to play single-player games like Assassin's Creed 1, Stranglehold, or any game. Why? Why? You have to give me a real reason. And they should also look at how and what happened to, what was that on PS3 game that was only on the servers, the military game?
Mag.
Oh, that
Mag. Yeah, Mag, yeah. Yes. Go back and read the first 3 months of that game. That's all you need to look at, because if everybody is always online, could you imagine how much time and power that's going to need to keep those servers up and running? And the thing that also scares me about that is that how often do you leave your computer online? Always. Not always. Because guess what? If you leave your computer online and your firewall goes down, if you have any kind of information on your computer, that means someone can accidentally discover it. And, oh, look, so-and-so has left his computer wide open. Let me just take his email address and see where he's been. Oh, look, he's been to this website. Oh, look, he has another email address. And basically did the same thing to Mr. Adam. That's how they found his email was Pretty Billy or Cute Billy or something like that. And I'm like, you want me to be always on? Nah, I'll pass on that. Just for that reason alone, you know. I want to play games and have fun and not worry about my online identity being stolen or abused.
That's a good point, actually. Security is a big issue. When you're online, you're continuously exposed. But when you're on, when you're able to control when you're on and when you're off, it's easier to monitor the security. But if you have to have it online all the time, then that's something that's going to make your system vulnerable. So logically, it doesn't make much sense to have a system online connected to the internet constantly. And unless you have a lot of the best security in the world, but...
Who has best security?
I mean, that's the thing now. I mean, the internet is, and on the online community, is huge, and it's something that I need on a daily basis. I'm looking for a job, and the only way I can apply for these jobs is to email companies.
Yeah,
and apply online. Back in the day when I was a young kid, 20 years ago, looking for a job, I filled out an application form and I posted it to them. I mailed it to them.
Exactly.
Now it's all done online. And how am I supposed to do that if I don't have the internet? And a lot of people don't have the internet. So, these are people that are missing out. Whether they can't afford it or whether it's the internet's not in their area, because.
Mm-hmm.
There are places around the world that still don't have internet capability.
Well, there's still no internet capability, such as a 56K modem dial-up.
Yeah, exactly.
I know there are some places in the UK, I'm not sure about anywhere else, but they still have the 56K dial-up, and to catch up with programs or to do anything that just takes forever to do on it, then it's not if you weren't going to be online based in a part of the country or part of the world where there's little to no internet connection, then it's not really a good idea. So
yeah,
but to make us fully reliant on the internet isn't a good idea, even though the internet is a great place, but you have to draw a line somewhere, haven't you?
Well, we kind of rely on it. I mean, since I lost my job, I've had to cut back a lot on stuff. There is no way I could get rid of my internet because I need it so much. My children need it because they get given homework where they have to look on a website for the answers. They have a school's website that they go to, and you have to go on that. So by getting rid of my internet, it wouldn't just affect me; it would affect my children as well, and their learning. So I could probably cut down the amount of, because I've got quite high speed internet with at home and things like that. And yes, I could probably cut down on that. But too many people in my household use the internet. My missus is always on. She's doing her writing and she's contacting her publishers and she's always on her self promoting herself. And I'm obviously with my the two websites that I edit for and other stuff. Yes. It's applying for jobs daily. It's essential, and it's essential for a lot of people. But that's just the way the world has evolved, and it's a good thing. But for this guy to come out and say, "Well, people should deal with it, and it's their own fault. They haven't got their internet." It's basically what he's saying. Basically what he's saying is well, you should. For the people who haven't got the internet, they should get with the times.
That was awful.
That's kind of a kick in the teeth for people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One, there are numerous factors as to why people haven't got the internet. One, they just haven't got it in their area. Two, they can't afford it. Yep. They can't afford it. And some people are unfortunate to not being able to afford the internet. I myself am not working at the moment through unfortunate circumstances, but that is one of the things I really could not do without.
Yeah, that's me. You know, I got high speed internet. I want to say in 2007. Heavy 2007 because I used to go to Borders because I was with T-Mobile from like 2001 to 2012, and I used to go to Borders to get on high speed internet on my laptop. But finally, I was like saying, "What's this wasting gas when I can just get it here at home?" And so that's what I did. You know, I used to go to my backyard to, like, you know, most of my files weren't that heavy, you know, because I was still programming, designing websites for 56K. But once I got broadband, you know, I did increase my file size just a little bit. But my web designer would say, "Hey, Warren, you know, people still use dial-up." And it's like, yeah, I know. So I used to make two versions of the site. So, hey, even if you're on a cell phone, you still want your site to be kind of light so they can download it fast. You don't want people sitting there waiting 4 or 5 minutes for a website to load, you know. With the internet, you know, it's not just a, I don't even know what to say, it's not a toy, as most people thought it was going to be back in the early days. It's not a toy, it's a tool. It's also a vehicle, like for your whole family, it's a vehicle. You know, instead of bringing it to the library, your kids have the books and everything they need right there at home at their convenience to use it, and also saves you time and having to go out and say, "Hey, you know, we're going to be in the library for 3 hours, do your work and be done, you know, within 3 hours because we're leaving." Now it's kind of like, okay, you need to use a computer? Okay, go ahead, you know, and there you go. You know, and her shipping stuff off. That saves on postage right there. Granted, here in America, that's a quid pro quo with the post office. It's kind of their fault for not preparing for the times. You know, because now more people send email than postal mail. Why not? You know, that's how easy it is. Exactly.
It's quicker and it's free.
Quicker and, well, you pay for internet, so therefore it kind of is not. Exactly.
Yeah, you pay for the internet, but it's unlimited. You don't have to.
Unlimited usage as long as you're within your bandwidth,
Yeah,
plus you've got to, You have to travel to the nearest post box or the nearest post office, and if the paper stamps, and you've got to pay for an envelope, and you've got to pay for a pen to write the letter, and you've got to pay for ink to type the letter, or it's just a cheaper and more efficient way of doing something.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what year it was, but I don't know if they called it the e-stamp, but they were trying to implement that for email. So every time you send an email, you pay like 15 cents. And I was like, who would do that? I mean, unless it's secure or something like that, and you can prove it to me, who would want that, you know? So, but yeah, the internet is very important, but to say everyone has it or you have an always-on device, that's not right, and that's not good, because I know a lot of people who do not, you know? So, but yeah, but hopefully, I don't know. I mean, three hours after I sent that tweet to him, then that's when Microsoft actually did the apology, you know, and I'm like, he should know this when he got hired. You would think they would have made them sign a confidentiality a contract, you would think, and I don't know. Is this it? I don't know. That guy, I don't know.
I think he's dug his own hole, and his grave is there for him to lie in now. And he really needs to come out and apologize for himself. Yes, Microsoft has done that, but Microsoft have to do that to cover their own backs. He's really got to come out, apologize to himself, and apologize to the people that. Because at the end of the day, he's just disrespectful for people who can't afford the internet, or and people who have limited internet at the end of the day, because not everyone has as lucky as we are.
Right, exactly.
But like Nick says, people are still on 56k dial-up, and
if you're lucky enough to have that, but
yeah, exactly. In their area, I mean, it's not, and sometimes it's not even about price. You know, like one friend, he says, I can't get any high speed because they don't offer it in my area. And I was like, you know, really? And I know I sound like they said it's like, yeah, once, like, wow, I didn't know that, because back in like what 1996, my family lives way in a rural town way back in Marion County. And these people in this nice car rolls up and says, hey, do you have fiber optics? And I looked at them and said, nobody in this town might not even know what you're talking about except for me, because I'm the resident geek. I don't think you want – I'm serious. No one knew what fiber – because I want – okay. Yeah, I will say I was going to get my father, when he had his business, I want a T1 line back in – you know, when I found out what they were. And those things back then costed like $1,000 a month. But I wanted one anyway. But, you know, their equipment of less than broadband now. So the speed, at least. And I'm just glad I didn't get one. But, yeah, the people were they're trying to scope a new area to bring fiber optics. And I was like, this is not the town you want to waste your efforts in. Much as I wanted it, I was like, no, don't do that. You're going to be wasting your time. You go to Ocala, you know, the next biggest town next to us, and then, you know, branch out to us eventually. So.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I think that's probably it for that topic. I think.
Bottom line, internet's great, but you have to take into consideration not everyone has the internet or is able to use the internet well.
So. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and at the end of the day, where I don't want my console to be always online.
Nope.
I certainly don't want that. And I certainly don't want a DLC only console either.
No, I mean, I will say on that note, I don't want to expand it out. I could kind of deal with like small, like, you know, Xbox arcade games, but not full on retail games that are, you know, over 2 gigs. No, I can't. Yeah. I couldn't deal with that. No, I'm sorry. The reason why I'm saying that, I mean, I want to say this loud and clear, because, you know, when you start getting 7 gig games, and like I have friends who have 250 gig hard drives. Oh, my hard drive is, I have over 150 gigs left. Okay, how many more games can you fit on that before it fills up? And then you need to upgrade, and you can't.
It's, so I mean,
And then you delete the
game. It's around about 7 gig a game, so it's, you're talking 20 games. Yeah. And you're not going to get a refund from anything you download anyway. So.
Exactly. So that's a double negative right there. Yeah. Double negative. So.
It's probably something that will happen eventually, but
we hope not yet. So
just hopefully got another 10, maybe 20 years of disc based or cartridge based formats.
Well, we'll see.
But
anyway, Yeah, we should go back to cartridges. That just
yes,
so much easier.
So much easier. That's what I want. I would love to have a cartridge that allow. I mean, I want like something like an MO disc, where like say you're playing Fable, and what it will allow you to do is you can do DLC with that and download it to this disc and say, okay, like Gaz, I know he's probably gonna get a limited edition, or better yet, a golden limited edition that has all of the DLC bought separately on one disc. So when he gets ready to either sell it or trade it, you know, granted, he'll be able to sell that disc for like $200 because he has all of it in one place. Yeah. That could be used by another person, minus his saves and so forth. Or if he puts it on a disc, then on his disc, he can have all that stuff. And now that I would like to see, you know, but I know they won't do something like that, but I would love that if they did. I would love that. So, but yeah.
Anyway, next topic, Nick.
Okay.
We could go on and on and on and on with this.
Yeah.
I'm sure the topic will come up again in the future when somebody else says something stupid. Yeah.
Or when they announce the next Xbox console and say if that's always online, or who knows.
I'll be out right by then.
But I'm sure, yeah, as you say, guys, we'll probably talk about this again several times in the future.
Yeah.
So next topic I thought might be a little nice topic to talk about would be games we'd like to see made, or games we'd like to make if we were able to make games. That's something I thought we could look at. So, any suggestions on games you'd like to see in the future?
Oh, my game is already coming. DuckTales, thank you. That's a game I was waiting for a long time, and it's like, wow, somebody finally listened, you know. And now Killer Instinct is, the license has finally been, melded or fixed. Let's just say fixed. So we might be seeing a Killer Instinct new game, I'll just say that. So, and those are games that I want to see. I'll come back on the games that I want made.
Released two games for the Killer Instinct series, 1 and 2, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it actually was 3. There was Killer Instinct, which is Killer Instinct Arcade, which is the one that everyone knows. Then there was Killer Instinct 2, which was only in the arcade, but then they ported over this thing called Killer Instinct Gold on the N64 or Ultra 64. Well, however you want to say it. And they are slightly different. I can't really tell the difference because I'm not that hardcore with part 2. I didn't really care for it too much. But I love the music and the sound in it. But the play-wise, I didn't, you know. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that's not including the Game Boy version. And I think there's one version that I'm not saying out loud that was very rare, but I can't remember what it was on. So, well, go ahead.
I'd say what one I might be interested in seeing is like a Brawl type game with, say, Disney characters from all the classic movies up to the recent one, Wreck-It Ralph, and other ones with all different characters. I mean, I think that'd be cool because they all have different abilities and stuff, like, say, I'm trying to think of a random example, Aladdin versus Beast, perhaps. Like a ball game like Super Smash Brothers or...
Oh, okay, a Looney Tunes like sports.
Like a Disney fighting game.
Yeah, Disney fighting game, yeah.
Oh, fighting game, okay.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mickey Mouse and Goofy fighting it down.
Whoa! if they did it right, that would come out really well and be good for all the gamers. That'd probably be a Nintendo special right there. So, since they already kind of do stuff with them already, but that would be kind of neat.
Well, they've already made a crossover game with in the Epic Mickey Power of Illusion on the 3DS. They've all, got a different bunch of Disney characters from all the movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Square did the Kingdom Hearts thing.
Hearts, yeah.
That's Disney, awesome. Which is, there's been quite a few Kingdom Hearts games, hasn't there? Hasn't there one just been released for the DS or the 3DS?
Yes.
Yeah, the 3DS, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're cool games, because I'm a big Disney fan. I love Mickey Mouse, so kind of cool.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
But, I don't know, games I want to see made. I don't know, as long as I'd like to see the classics keep getting remade Like, yeah. Outrun became Outrun 2 with, you know, with the drifting and things like that. That was a really good interpretation of Outrun. And a really good, and I'd like to see that evolve and advance.
Have you played?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, I was gonna say, have you played Outrunners Twin?
No, that's the one I've not played Outrunners. I don't,
oh my
gosh! I've never seen it.
In
an arcade anywhere.
Okay, you need to see, and that's why when people say Outrun, I played Outrun also, and I thought it was awesome. And then I played this game, which I thought was Outrun 2, which it wasn't. It was called Outrunners. Once you play that game, you probably might not want to play Outrun ever again, because Outrunners is so much fun. And the music and soundtrack, wow. That's all I can say. You,
I played four-player Outrun 2 in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
I'm going to say, on Outrun, can you get, not, if you run into like a wall or something, do you fall out the car and run along beside it? I can't remember.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, on Outrunners, my favorite is going to be the girls with the beehive. It's like, you know, these girls from like the 50s or 60s, and they have all these beehive hairdos. And if you hit a corner, they fall out of the car, and the car keeps going, and they jump beside it, and they run beside it, and then jump back in, and you just basically, you know, once you get momentum, you have to look it up on YouTube. It's just awesome. But I'm surprised you haven't seen that one, because,
I've heard about Outrunners, but it's not a game that I've ever played. It was only an arcade release. I think it was released on, wasn't there a Japanese Mega Drive version, I think?
Yeah, because in arcade, because it took me forever to find it. I mean, because I played it back in my high school years. Me and my best friend, we used to play that game every Friday and Saturday. And I thought they brought it home, and that's why when they announced it on Xbox, they're bringing home Outrunners, well, they said Outrun, some other version. And I thought that was a version. It's like, no, that's not the one that I played, and it's nothing like it.
Yeah, there's never been a console release in the UK, arcade-wise. I've never seen one in an arcade, although released in Europe. I've never seen one. There was a Mega Drive or Genesis release in Japan and North America. We didn't get a release in Europe. I've no idea why.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wiki page right now. It was on Mega Drive, and like you said, Japan and North America. I think I saw it, but the American version didn't look much like the arcade at all. It was like really, really, really toned for. The game wasn't simple, but for what it was, they could have emulated a little bit better. But
yeah, I mean, I have a Genesis and I have a Japanese Mega Drive, so if I could pick up a copy, then I'd love to pick up a copy because I do love Outrun. I'll check eBay now, actually, and see if there's any on there.
Yeah. On other games that I wish they'd make, retro-wise, when they release Yars Revenge, that's one of my favorite Atari 2600 games, Yars Revenge, Pong, and Star Raiders, and, of course, E.T. I'm one of the few people that like E.T. I did not like that new release of Yars Revenge. I wanted the same side-scrolling game, scrolling shooter game, but in 3D, not flying into the screen like what they showed with just these bugs that happen to be spaceships. I did not like that, and I wish they'd go back and redo that. Just erase that game entirely and start from scratch and actually follow the actual Yars Revenge story, and I guess, you know, write the story of when, the proton cannon was created and when the planet got destroyed. I want that to be a whole, like, basically like Ninja Gaiden was told. I wanted Yars Revenge like that, with cutscenes and everything. It doesn't have to be all, you know, super graphic. You can still be in pixels for all I care. You know, just add, you know, some detail to it. You know, like Tyrion or R-Type or something like that. So, but that's one of the few games.
There's one available for sale on eBay. It's a Japanese version, price £24. Right, so buy it now, but it's 28. Oh, it's let me just see, where is it? Oh, it's in the UK as well, so that's cool. It's 28 days on the auction, so yes, that's fine. I have some money coming at the end of the month, so I might just buy that. I can make an offer as well, so I could bring him down, say £5, I'll be quite happy with that. So I'll keep an eye on that one.
Make a cheeky bid on it, guys.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll suggest something like £18 or maybe £15, because I can offer three. I think you can do, on eBay, you can do three offers, so I can always bring it up if you. I can get it as cheap. If you didn't want to take any offers, you wouldn't have that on there. So I can at least see if I can take a little bit off at least. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, at Runners, yeah. So it looks in pretty good condition. So I'll keep an eye on that. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, as long as you keep making, I'd like to see him bring back Afterburner and things like that. So
yes.
It's classic Sega games and Space Harrier. We haven't seen great playing games like that. I mean, I think Space Harrier would look good with a 3D. I know it was like a kind of a 3D game anyway, the way it played, because it was like it's like a head-on game, wasn't it? But
did feature Afterburner style level in the recent Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing Transform game. Mm-hmm. I play that level. It's really, really cool, actually, because we'll meet you fire next year in the scene, next year driving on the battleships.
Well, they should make a decent Final Fantasy game again, shouldn't they, really? That's what...
Which one?
A decent one. They should just make a decent one again.
Which game? Which game was that? Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy? If they want to, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see a really good Final Fantasy game, but I haven't actually seen one.
Yeah, I haven't played Final Fantasy since Final Fantasy VII because the story that they have doesn't really, I don't know, interest me as it used to, you know? It looks pretty...
They've just remade 10, haven't they?
HD
makeover. But then again, I can play it because I own it. I own 10. I can just put on my PlayStation 2 and play it. Why does it have to be in HD? Yes, they probably want to appeal to a newer audience who never got to play it first time round. But the charm of the old graphics and things are that make it like that. I don't know.
Well, also the music. I mean, that's one thing. Me and my one of my friends, he was showing me Darius Twin. I forget. It was a game that was only released in Japan, I think. And the music on it that they did with MIDI is just so good. They basically put it in the music so it sounds like a woman singing, but it's just crazy good. And you don't see that much in these new games. Grant, they use real orchestras and so forth. I mean, it's good music, but that old MIDI music is just timeless, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But like you were saying about Space Harrier, that's the when you said that, the first thing I thought about was Asura's Wrath. If they could make a Space Harrier like that, oh my God, and then put it in 3D just for extra kicks, that game would be off the charts. Would be off the charts because most people never even heard of Space Harrier. They go, "What is that?" And you show it to them, and they say, "You know, you're playing for about 2 hours." Like, "Wow, really? Yeah. You never played Space Harrier before?" So, you know, I love it because of the sound. the dragon.
The music on their games were fantastic. I mean, I love the soundtrack for Outrun, Magical Sound Shower, and Splash Wave, and Passing Breeze.
That's yes,
an awesome soundtrack, and I mean, they did. Without Run 2, they brought them back and they did like a remake of each track, but it just doesn't sound the same as the old.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's cool.
They've yet to do an actual proper crossover game with Mario and Sonic. I know they've done the Olympic Games and I know Sonic featured in the Super Smash Bros. Ball on the Wii, but they haven't actually done like a proper crossover game where they're like playing each other's worlds, like Mario can play in Sonic's world and vice versa. And then Robotnik and Bowser team up together to take over both worlds, Mushroom Kingdom and what's the world of Sonic? Oh, Sonic fans are going to bash me for this. It's on the tip of my tongue. What's the world Sonic called? I should know this. I've heard it before.
Green Hill?
No. The world of Sonic, where it takes place, the universe of Sonic. Something. This is bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say?
The world of Sonic takes place in. You've seen it in the cartoon series, and also in the modern games. Mentions it.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm like saying, ugh.
Mobius, that's it. Mobius.
Oh, Mobius. Oh,
I know it okay. Began with M, but I just couldn't think, so.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that at all. Okay.
So, I knew it. So, sorry for anyone who's a Sonic fan who got offended for me not remembering that, but.
Yeah. He's been captured by Dr. Robotnik. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, but no, that would be nice if they would do that, because see, that's the one thing I loved about Sonic 2, where it was two players, you had the top screen and bottom screen. It wasn't like Super Mario Bros. 1, where it's like, okay, I get to play after you die. That was fun and all, but when I played Sonic 2, my nephews loved it, because I can have two of them playing at the same time, and they can help each other if they weren't doing, I think, the race or whatever it was. But it would be nice to see Sonic and Mario, like, do, you know, play on their respective levels, and then versus it. But what would be even better is if you can switch the powers in one game, not two games, but one game, where Mario gets Sonic's speed and Sonic gets Mario's power up and firepower, which basically just sprite changing and that's all. But that'd still be interesting to see that, you know.
That was a really cool aspect of Sonic 2, though, the racing where you could have, like, is it at five laps on the course? I really used to love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was just fun, you know. So you can get there the fastest, you know.
Yeah, it was always fun to play that level.
Mm-hmm.
So they could either be a single player game, or it could be a two player game, or maybe even four if you can use like Luigi and Tails, perhaps, or other characters for Mario and Sonic.
Yes, exactly. See, that's what I didn't mind, that multi-screen. I never really liked multi-screen on like first-person shooters, because I was not really into them. But when we did play them, it's kind of like, since I was older than everyone, I was smart enough to know to look at their screen and know where they're at, but they eventually learned, you know, well, that's not good. I can see where you're at, so I know where to go to get you. But games like that, it's fun to play, because you can both watch each other. Like, oh, he's going to get you. Watch out for the bump. He hit it. He lost all his rings. Don't hit it. You know, so, which made it, you know, really fun, you know, for everybody. Because everybody's watching. Who's watching is actually kind of visually playing. Granted, they're not controlling the character. So, but yeah.
Cool. Anyway,
I've seen like hacked versions of Mario playing in Sonic's universe and Sonic in Mario's universe. I've seen some hacked games online, but from what I hear, most of them are terrible. So, but since Sega's done a decent job bringing the two universes together, both characters Mario and Sonic used to be rivals together. You could easily do it with a modern platformer game, easily.
Even
the style of a 16-bit game, or maybe with HD graphics, who knows, but we'll be cool to see if they ever do that.
Yeah, but I really would like it in sprites, not in 3D. So, I mean, that's my personal preference. I'll still play it, but I'm just saying.
It's the charm, isn't it? So, I mean, for us, the retro stuff is always going to, it'll always be so much better than the stuff we have today. Even if it looks fantastic, it's just we grew up in an age where, and that's what we remember. We always remember our childhood, and that's the kind of thing the games we remember will be from our childhood.
Yeah.
When I'm old and grey and coming to the end of my life, I'll be remembering what games I used to play. I won't be remembering Gears of War and things like that. I'll be remembering Sonic the Hedgehog and Afterburner and Outrun and games like that. They will be the games that I'll remember the most and the fondest.
I'm going to say, Gaz, though, do you have Afterburner now on Mega Drive?
I have, I think I have Afterburner. I've got a Saturn version.
I was going to say, have you ever tried to turn all your color out of your TV and play it in black and white and turn the contrast up a little bit? Have you ever tried to do that?
No, why?
You try it. Try it. And let me know what you think. No, because I used to play that game. Because back home, I used to do all kind of crazy stuff. And we had like a 13-inch black and white TV. And at first, I didn't want to play it. I was like, you know, let me just play it and see what happens. And I turned the contrast up on that. It made that game seem like a totally new game. And I just want to see what you would think if you turn all your color down and turn the contrast up and then play it and see how it feels.
I'll try that for next week.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it sounds strange, but just try it. My little brother just got blown away when he saw that, like, wow! Like, yeah, so.
Yeah, I have the Saturn version, which is the closest to the arcade version as you can get. Mm. So I'll try that.
Did they have a feedback, a home version of the Force feedback at all, or no?
I don't think so. No, okay. I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Any other games you can think of we can want to see made in the future?
I don't know. As long as these games I'd like to see continued, like Gears of War, I wouldn't mind seeing a few of them, being a fan. But I wish they'd stop making these yearly titles. I wish they'd just stop doing that.
Call of Duty.
Madden. Yeah. No, not so much Call of Duty. Like your Madden and your Tiger Woods. It's like every year you have to buy a new game. It's like,
I never understood that. I'm sorry. I mean, I never understood it because it's like you're just get every year you're paying $60 for just new skins and maybe one or two new features. I mean, nothing against, but it's like if you were protest that, you probably get the game for what as DLC, the package for DLC, which is maybe 200 megabytes. Yeah, you know,
I'm sure they could just release a patch on the over the Xbox Live. Or have it as DLC just to update it to this year's stats and I mean in the years that I've been playing Tiger Woods, I think I played the 06 version on the GameCube, and it plays just as well, if not better, than the 2013 version does. So
I
don't know.
Yeah, I played Tiger Woods. This is a great game, but my first, like, quote-unquote, real golf game I ever played was on 3DO, and that was Wailea Golf and Pebble Beach. And it had real people and real video of the course. Granted, you played on a 3D course. It showed you real video, so I felt like I was there. But those sports games, I always thought, like, why couldn't they just update the graphics just a little bit once the online thing came out? You know, that's what I always thought. You know, but, you know, if they can make more money, that's basically what they're there for. And if they're going to pay it.
Exactly. Yeah. People, if they can make the money, people are going to pay them. So.
Yeah. So.
Exactly. Because there's a load of hype when the next sports game comes out, even though it's the same game as last year, they'll get that. And then the value of the last game will just go down like that.
Yeah. It goes down
I got my Xbox and I bought Tiger Woods for a few years, and then I suddenly realised, I thought, why am I spending £40 or $60 on a game? And I'm basically playing the same game every single year. Yes, there are a few tweaks here and there, but nothing that would justify me forking out that much money every year. So I just stopped buying them. And I wish people would do the same, because then EA would turn around and go, hang on, we might have to rethink our strategy a bit here, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. Because idiots are still going to fork out the money for them.
Yep, exactly.
Anyway.
But my thing also, since you brought up sports, why aren't there that many volleyball games? I mean, I know it's not popular, but why not? You know.
I mean, there's loads of sports out there that probably deserve a game or... But then again, it's probably based on the popularity of the big sport. And again, I know baseball is a huge sport, and I don't see that many baseball games.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, I just thought about that. Like, yeah, because I remember back then on Super Nintendo, we had, oh my gosh, what's his name, Junior? I forget his name, but that was pretty nice. I wasn't into baseball, but my friend, he loved it a lot. So...
Because we have every year we have a basketball game, and every year we have a NHL game, and every year we have a Madden game. We don't have America's favorite pastime, do we? That's it, which is probably baseball. We don't see that every year, which is probably the most popular sport.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love baseball. I mean, I think we've seen some. I think I've seen probably two titles on the Xbox. Don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you a game I'd love to see come back. Speedball. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Love that game. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, I think what Base is Loaded on old Nintendo, I think is probably the best baseball game by some people. Because it's the only baseball game you can actually jump up the fence, like run up the fence to grab the ball so you can get it out.
Yeah.
or file out, whichever, you know, just that one little thing.
That's it. I mean, there's sports out there that may be deserving of. I mean, what about lacrosse? I don't know. I don't know if anyone's ever made a lacrosse game. That's a hugely popular sport as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. But I think I've seen one, but it was for PC.
Mm.
And it was long, way back, you know. I was just looking it up and see. So, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nick?
Yep, Mitch.
Thanks,
so, I just thought, before we go on to games we've been playing recently and all that, I just thought we'd have a little trivia. I'm not sure how well this works, because I'm going to have to play this through the mic, but want you to guess which song this movie's from. Probably
okay.
Probably able to get it. If anyone listening at home, sorry if this isn't very clear or if the sound's muffled or anything like that, so first time trying it, so here we go. See which you can guess this first. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's from a movie.
Yep. Video game movie. That's a little hint.
Oh, yeah, I know. Record Ralph, but I don't know the song. I've heard it.
Yeah, it's from Record Ralph, yeah.
All right, okay. You got another one?
Yeah, well, that's the... I haven't planned to get any others up, so... Let me see if we can find another song I might have from a video game. Yes, I've got one up here.
Sure had some on my phone as well.
Yep. Should be able to get this one, guys. Can you hear it?
It's Final Fantasy. Sure it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Which one?
It's got to be 7.
Are you sure?
I've no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've heard it.
It's definitely a Final Fantasy game.
Are you correct there? It's Final Fantasy X.
The only reason it's a Final Fantasy game, you could just tell.
Yeah, the beat. Uh-huh.
But it is another Final Fantasy song. Guess which one this is from, if you can. I'll turn it up a little bit if you can hear it. Is that better?
I didn't play that one. I know I didn't. Nope.
Any guesses?
Mm-mm.
I reckon that's probably still.
I know I know the girl on the stage is singing, but I can't tell you which one it is.
Well, that's a clue to what game this is from.
No idea. Because it's got. Let's see. I reckon I've deleted all my music off here.
Did I tell you?
Yeah. Nah, I don't.
10-2.
10-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
So was that fun, or?
Yeah, that was kind of fun. I'm going to have to put some on my... tell you what.
We'll have to do an episode based on some trivia and guessing songs and that. We'll have to look into doing that, perhaps.
We could do, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that'd be a load of fun.
No, go ahead. No, sorry. No, I was trying to change the sounds on my soundboard, but I was too late trying to get it ready for the show.
I'm sure you can guess this movie. Just it's not a video game. It's based on a movie, which I'm sure we can all guess this in 5 seconds flat.
Back to the Future.
Easy, yep.
No.
Here we go then. I've found some music on YouTube. My favourite music, if it plays.
Okay.
I should know that, but
I recognise it. Can't think.
Yeah,
I recognise. I've just mentioned it.
Oh, Outrun.
Yeah, it is Magical Sound Shower.
Wow, that sounds so different than the version I remember. I guess because we're listening to it live over the internet, when it's in your face, I can hear the bass and everything that goes with it. Yes, I take all that stuff into account when I'm listening. That's why I love Jurassic Park, the arcade. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? We don't get music like that now. It's all, well, it's all orchestral scores, isn't it?
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it was good when they were limited to like a few people making the music and using the limited technology, especially on the Super Nintendo, made some of the best music on the Super Nintendo and even the Sega Mega Drive or Genesis. Mm. I think with the Sonic music from games like Castlevania and Final Fantasy, they made some great music. Can't argue with that, can you?
No, not at all. And people still make their own chip tunes, and don't they? If you go on SoundCloud and sites like that, you'll get people who make their own music. There's a guy who I follow on Twitter called Nate Bit. He's called his name's Nate. As he lives in the US, and he goes under the pseudonym of Nate Bit, as in 8-bit, and he makes his own music. If you check out Twitter, and I'm just trying to find him. Mm-hmm. No idea, but there's people out there who do it. Oh, there we go. His Twitter is N8Bit Music, so 8-bit music. Have a look at him, because it's some of the music he's created is really quite cool.
Yeah, I'll have a look for him now, actually. See where
Nate, as in N8Bit Music, okay. On Twitter it is. And I'm sure there is a link to his site, I think. There is a link to his site on his Twitter page. 8bit.com it is. Yeah, but people still out there. People still out there who love making music from old video games in that style. Because it's what they grew up with, and yeah, I prefer that to today's music any day.
Yeah, yep.
Because it takes you back to your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It's so awesome, so awesome.
Well, we'll definitely have to do something trivia based in the future, maybe just listen to some classic gaming music, see if we can guess where it's from.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we could probably do it on the website, or if you put a compilation on YouTube or something like that, get together a compilation, run a competition or something. I don't know, we could do something like that. Anyway, what are we talking about next?
Games we've been playing recently, sound good?
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I'll start. Well, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to download Walking Dead episode 3 and 4.
Yay.
I had some points. I had like 800 points to spend. But when I went to download them, they were on sale for half price, so they were only 200 points each. So I managed to get all three episodes.
Wow, good.
Which was really cool, and it left me a couple of points left over. So I downloaded them all. I've not played them yet because I've been playing Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
Finished that game. Uh-huh. It's a good game, let's put it that way, and it's a must for any Aliens fan. It plays really well. I know me and Ariel discussed it last time. People have slagged it off, saying it's glitchy, and yes, it is glitchy in places. They've fixed the main bits with some patches.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit glitchy, but it doesn't really affect the gameplay anymore. It's a must for any Aliens fan. All the references are in there, and it's a good story as well. And there's a few surprises, which I didn't expect at all.
Well, they have.
Oh, that's good.
But it's good. Yeah, it's really cool. And what I do like about it is, because it takes place immediately after the film Aliens, go on the Sulaco, and then on the planet LV-426, and you visit Hadley's Hope and you find loads of legendary weapons that the aliens characters have left behind, like Hudson's pulse rifle or Frost's flamethrower, Vasquez's smart gun, and they're really cool. So yeah, I'd recommend it. What else have I been playing? Sleeping Dogs, I've just purchased that It's like I found that it's like it takes place in Japan, I think it is. It's like a Japanese version of Grand Theft Auto. It's kind of cool. Kind of playing that. But what I have been addicted to is Subway Surfers.
What is that?
It's a you can get it on iOS or Android, and it's kind of like a Temple Run kind of game, and it's so addictive. Subway Surfers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's free to download. It's cool. You can get it on Android or iOS. So I've been playing that a lot, and my kids love it as well. So it's a family kind of game. It's like Temple Run. You're getting chased by monsters and things like that. It's not really suitable for kids, but this one is. It's kind of cool. My kids love it, and my 4-year-old is fantastic at it. Brilliant. It's really cool. Yeah, and that's pretty much all I've been playing. I'm just seeing if there's anything more. I've been playing a bit of Forza and Gears Judgment, but mainly it's been Aliens, Colonial Marines. We wanted to get finished the campaign.
That's cool.
Yeah. Who's next?
Oh, well, I can cut mine short. Well, only on iPad, I've been playing, again, Jurassic Park Builder, and I'm not sure if you heard a game called, it's called Totem Runner. It's not, I think I mentioned it like 2 podcasts ago, but it's not like that Totem Runner, but this is a side-scrolling game, not like Mario, kind of, but it's basically the screen pushes you to the right, and you're like this, was a shaman, and you can transform into like a rhino, which is on the ground, or into a bird to fly. And basically you have to press the button and hold it, because basically the levels and so forth, they like make it where you have to run or where you have to fly. And it's the graphics and animation are like really great on it, you know, and I'm playing it casually. Outside of that, I finally just finished Mass Effect 2 last week. I want to say on like Wednesday night. And now I'm finally playing the story of Mass Effect 3. So, and I think that's really, oh, I'm sorry. Also, 3S, I bought Pushmo. That came out back in like 2011, and I was not a believer of the game. Cause I like saying, it looks like a, you know, run of the mill puzzle game, and it's not. That game is so fun, and you can actually make your own little puzzles and so forth, and share them with people with QR codes. And I finally bought with the coins I had left over, the points I had left over. I also bought Gargoyle's Quest. Granted, that was the only game I ever wanted on the DS. And the DSi, and now a 3DS, and I finally bought it. And wow, it's proven to be a lot harder than I remember. But it was a hard game back then. But for some reason now, it feels a little bit harder. But I'm loving it. And you also have where you can save. Now you can actually save your progress wherever you're at. So kind of like a little cheat. But that's all I'm playing right now.
Cool and groovy.
Cool.
Nick.
Mostly been playing Batman Arkham City on the 360. As I already mentioned, I played it before on the PS3, but been having lots of fun doing the side quests. Close to finishing the campaign, I think I've got a few main missions to do in the main campaign. I'm just trying to do as many side missions as I can before I complete the game, so just get a few achievements out of that. Also been playing Temple Run 2 on the iOS. Loads of fun there. I'm currently on level 8.
Yeah, I was playing Temple Run 2, but the Subway Surfers has taken over that. Really cool game.
Yeah, this type of game is really fun. It could easily find it in the arcade if they were to port it to the arcade. I don't know if they'd ever consider doing that, but that would be a great little experience an arcade game like that. But yes, loads of fun, quite addictive, but to try and get to the goals and level up and unlock new power-ups and everything, and a couple of new characters. So, yep. Also, we'll be playing a bit more of Epic Mickey on the 3DS. Still a fun game, but though I am starting to find the parts where you have to draw and erase items in the level a bit tiresome and a bit... slow the game down, basically. Just like I have to stop, click on it, and then have to draw the item I'm drawing, and then have to raise items I don't need or want anymore. So you kind of get a bit tiresome doing that. I mean, it doesn't ruin the game at all, but it just, like, makes it repetitive, just, like, having to do it. If you just click on an item and then just, like, wave magic brush in it, and it either gets rid of the item like that or create the item, then that'd be fine, but it's not too distracting, so I'm still having fun with it. Really, I think that's pretty much it, other than the odd other game on the iOS, so on to films and TV series we've been watching.
Bones. I've been watching Bones.
Yes, again. Yes, Bones.
I'm up to season 5.
Wow.
So far. I've seen them all before, but it's one of them series you can, because I haven't seen it for so long, I've gone back to the start and watching it again.
Oh, wow.
Because we've just started season 8, I think, over here.
Yeah.
What else have I been watching? No, season 2 of Touch has just started as well. So I've watched the first episode of season 2. If you haven't seen it, it's with Kiefer Sutherland and his young son, Jake. It's really cool. I recommend that. Mm. What else have I been watching? Not much, really. I've been playing Aliens. But yeah, Bones and Touch. And I need to... There's a few things I need to watch. Like Dexter, I'm supposed to watch that as well. I've been recommended to watch that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I guess I'll go next. Watched the new series of Doctor Who, the first episode of the new. Well, not it's not the new series, but it's the second half of the current series. Series 7, I believe it is, in the modern series. So, yep, that was a good episode, and hopefully after the podcast, I'll be watching the next one because I've got it recorded on my Skybox. I've also watched the film Matilda, you know, the book based on Roald Dahl. The book by Roald Dahl, Matilda.
The little girl with the powers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I own that on DVD. I watched it on Netflix also.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Probably not necessarily the best, but it's good for what it is.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, there's obvious flaws you can pick out of it, but personally, I enjoyed it for what it is, and it's a great movie. I do agree with that. So, but some people nowadays probably like to look at it and say, "What?" It's a bit confusing, but still a great movie. Recommend for anyone who watched that back in the day to watch it again and relive their childhood, because it is a pretty good movie. It still holds up today, I think.
Yep, that song. Da, 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 when she just makes the curtains and thing dance. That was fun.
There's a couple of things we're watching. Watched this program before came on to the podcast called Off Their Rockers. I'm not sure if you've seen it, guys, but basically it's a new UK comedy program where some bunch of old people pull pranks on members of the public by doing different things, like asking how to spell certain words while they're typing into Facebook or posting a new post on Facebook, and tricking them to doing things, and certain things happen.
Not seen that one yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's on ITV. Should be on ITV Play a bit later. Guess you want to watch that. So
yeah, I'll check that one out.
So that's a bit fun to watch. What else? Should know. I didn't make a mental note of what I have watched.
You always forget something, so I won't worry about it.
Yeah, no, but it just sort of bugs me. I know what I've watched more, but I just can't think of what I've actually watched. Finding Nemo in 3D, I've seen that in the cinema. Great to see it on the big screen. So.
Oh, there's talk about Finding Nemo. I'd heard this week there's a sequel.
Finding Dory.
Finding Dory. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. Because I quite like Disney films are great, aren't they, anyway? Especially Pixar films. They're all fantastic. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be out till 2016. So, we've got three years to wait for that. But hopefully, it's worth the wait.
That is a long time.
And I don't know if they can hold up to the original as well.
Well, they take a long time to make, don't they? So.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, they do location shots and all that kind of stuff, so you kind of can understand that. Especially because it's going to be located in Australia again, between, you know, the U.S. and Australia.
No idea. Heard much about it. I just heard that it's coming, so.
Yeah, you think things get a little bit more efficient, I'll say that. But it's usually worth the wait, so.
Yeah, I think Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. is coming out late this year. I think June, July for us in the UK. I'm not sure when it's coming out for you one, but...
Have they made a trailer for that yet? Because I thought that was a joke.
No, it's generally coming out, as far as I know.
Okay, because no...
Mm-hmm. What's genuinely coming out?
Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one, yeah.
Yeah, because someone sent me a link to Monsters University, and it was like a mock college website. And it was with Monsters, Inc., but it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't indicate that it was, you know, a theme or anything. It was like, okay, is this for kids? Is it like Hogwarts or something? But that's why I'm a little confused. I mean, if you look it up, you might, I think it's still there. Monsters University, but yeah.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to seeing Monsters University when that comes out. I don't know how good it'll be, but I think a prequel is probably the best way to go with Monsters, Inc. Film.
We'll see.
Is there any other sequels to Pixar films you'd like to see, if they were to make them?
There's a few that I've heard of. There's going to be a National Treasure 3. I quite like the, Nicolas Cage one.
Oh, yeah.
They were quite cool. I heard there's a National Treasure 3. And there's a Ghostbusters 3 that's possibly in the pipeline as well.
Yeah,
supposedly, it's Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis are looking at writing that. What else is there? I think there's a load that I don't know. There's a few.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't mind seeing the Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
Well, they got to do it right. I wanted, like, part one. Yeah. Part two was, it started off pretty good, but ended off.
Yeah. It's got to be, yeah. Two was, it was okay. There's no,
Yeah, it's good for the kids. Yeah, you know, so it was,
Anyway.
But I guess, well, what I'm watching or what I've watched is basically on Netflix, again, they just released Dexter. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Dexter's Lab. It's one little kid.
Yeah, I used to watch that, actually. I really enjoyed watching that as a kid.
Oh, yeah, so that's on that Samurai Jack and The Regular Show. They're now on Netflix. Granted, I've watched all of them. And the last time I was saying the XY TV show I was watching, it was called Kyle XY. I couldn't remember his name for nothing, but it's Kyle XY.
Oh, right,
XY.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've seen that one as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's bad. They ended it, and I was like, right in the good part, you know. Last night, I was just flicking through, seeing what was new, and I thought, I mean, maybe you can answer this question. Is Hunger Games a TV show and a movie? Or just a movie?
I think it's just
a movie, but I think it's based on a book.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Based on a book by Suzanne Collins. It's a series of books, and they're all going to be made into films, much like Twilight was.
Oh, no.
But I've seen the Hunger Games film, and it was okay. It was certainly a lot better than Twilight.
Well, yeah, I've never watched Twilight yet. My friend, her daughter loves it, but I never got around to watching it. But no, I watched that last night, and I will say I loved it. Not to give away anything, I'll just say certain things. I loved it all the way up until they showed the wasp nest. And coming from the country, there's certain things you know not to do, and she did one of them. But other than that, it was very entertaining. But all my people, my friends, I need to speak to them today about it. I haven't talked to them because I didn't want to get everybody all riled up about my opinion about this movie about, I'm just going to say, war being condensed. And because people read into it as it being, you know, it represents the life of business, basically. You have the poor people who want money. You have the rich people who are wasting money and making poor people do things that they normally wouldn't do to make ends meet. And that's how people were explaining it to me. And so when I saw the movie, I was like, yeah, it has a lot of metaphors in it, but it's awful.
See, as soon as I saw, what's it called again? I can't remember. It's called now Hunger Games.
Hunger Games,
yeah. Hunger Games. Uh-huh. I can't remember. As soon as I saw it, I thought, that's Battle Royale.
Basically, yeah.
And that's Battle Royale. I said to my missus, that's Battle Royale. They've got kids fighting each other. It's Battle Royale.
Yeah.
But Battle Royale's good.
Yeah. That's how I kind of felt, too, because I'm going to say this out of context. I don't mean to ruin it. If you haven't seen the movie, so you might want to fast forward this part. But one rule about when you're playing an MMO with other people, do not kill your healers. Do not kill your healers. 3 days, safe. 1 day with you, dead. Like, what? I felt so bad. I mean, I wanted to cry, but I was like, wow, this is awful. And she would have just left you alone. And I will say, I'm trying to say it and speak, but if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. The thief, she learned not to steal stuff the hard way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but other than that, it was entertaining, but I could not see why people were going on about it. Like, it was this awesome piece of artwork. And the thing that made me I did get kind of angry. If we have this kind of technology, why do we have people working in mines? They can press a button and a monster pops out of nowhere. Make a tree fall just by pressing a button. You have that kind of technology, but you can't help the miners. You know, but I was surprised though. I have friends who used to be miners in Pennsylvania, and I'm sorry, they don't look that clean. If you work in a mine, you have black teeth and you have soot that never comes off the top of your forehead. So, but other than that, like I said, it was still entertaining. But after it was over, it's kind of like, was this the TV show or the movie? And it said movie, and that's why I had to ask you that. But the last thing that I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but Walking Dead finally came to an end, and I'll just say the ending that they chose to go with was not spectacular, and I'll end it that.
That's what I forgot to mention as well. There's a sequel. I've heard there's going to be a Zombieland 2.
Oh, really?
And there's also a Zombieland TV show.
I didn't hear about that.
Check on IMDb, Zombieland the TV show, and Zombieland 2.
Wow, I hope it's as good as part one, please. That movie wasn't the greatest, but it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It was a very, very good film. I thought it was fantastic.
Yes,
any movie that starts off with Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls, you know it's going to be a winning film.
Yeah, I like the humor. I love the humor.
Yeah, absolutely. But apparently in the TV show, it follows the character. Obviously, it's different. It's the same characters that are in the movie, obviously played by different people, but yeah. Zombieland 2, I've heard a rumour that they are going to make another one. I don't know anything if it's going to follow the same characters or it's going to be different characters, but we'll wait and see. I'd like to see a sequel because obviously the first movie was brilliant, so...
Yeah, with Zombieland, if it's a movie, I don't mind new characters or not, either or. You know, I'm good. As long as the story's good, I'm good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, like 28 days later, you know, so.
I think the song you mentioned, guys, I think there's a reference to that in The Walking Dead episode 4, which part I mean, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's a reference to that where one of the characters quotes that ask for whom the bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never. You don't. I forget the quote. But I just about when they were like, you know, don't worry about for whom the bell tolls because it is like you or something like that. He said that one guy said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the way he said it, but the way he said it was like, wow. So, now run. So, yeah.
Cool.
So,
anyway.
Any highlights to talk of, or?
I don't know. Oh, I've got my ticket sorted for an event that I'm going to next month. Revival, it's called. It's a retro gaming event.
Oh, yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool. Kind of cool. Oh, it's local to me as well, so I'm quite happy about that.
Okay.
What about you, Owen? Any highlights?
Well, my highlight is I'm finally finished with my children's book. I finally got the script and the pages and everything laid out, and the PDF is ready to go, but now I need to convert it to EPUB. But my artist friend, you know, his computer went down like last year in, I think, August or something like that, and I let him borrow my laptop. So now I'm just trying to get that back from him so I can finally convert it to EPUB and have everything copyrighted and ready to go hopefully tomorrow so I can finally get it the ISBN numbers to do an EPUB and an audiobook of it and have that up hopefully by this coming Friday. And that's my highlight. Even though I'm trying to keep quiet about it because I don't want to go get all excited until after it's done. You know?
Self-publishing?
Yes, I'm going to be doing self-publishing, yes. Because I tried to get this book. This book was actually written. It was actually a verbal story. I used to tell my nieces and nephews, you know, it's just basically how we're sitting here talking and we'll say something and then you'll add something to the story and they'll say, oh, yeah, how about this, a lizard? Or how about this, a tree? Or how about this, a bird? It's like, okay, add in. And so every time I told it, it would always be a little different. And my sister goes, well, why don't you just type it down, you know, write it up and turn it into a book? And I was like, sounds cool. But back in the late 90s, to have that book printed out would have cost $15,000 for only about, I think, like 200 copies in black and white. And as you know, since you said your wife also does publishing, you know how most companies that publish a print book, they don't take unsolicited scripts. And so before going to college, I spent about $700 buying books and stamps and shipping and asking, hey, you know, will you take a look at my script? Would you want to publish my book? And you know how they'll say, sorry, we're not taking any unsolicited publications or anything from anyone now. And you know, when you get that back to back, it does become discouraging. And that's one reason why I kind of went to college, which was actually a waste of my time and money. But now that the PDF is here, you know, the PDF is perfect, like I was saying. But, yeah, I'm doing the self-publishing thing, and I've reread it, had friends reread it and stuff. And there's things where you learn. You write a story a certain way because it's made for kids. And, you know, kids, when they're at a certain age, before they hit, like, age 8, they have their own little funny language that we understand. And a lot of that stuff has been removed from it. So I'm happy with what it's turned into, but I'm not satisfied. So once it's published and if it takes off, I'm going to go back and redo it the way I wanted it to be done, you know, with the rough edges of them using, you know, the kids slang. You know, when a kid's like under 5, he doesn't say teeth with T-E-T-H. They'll say teeth like T-E-F, you know, like a reef, teeth, you know, and, you know, being a parent, you understand that. And if you said to a kid, like you say, like I had someone want to change something where I said the monster roared really loud. Now, the correct term of saying that would say the monster roared loudly. Now, if you said the monster roared loudly, would the kid go, rrr? But if you said the monster roared really loud, you know, really loud, the kid would go, rrr, like this, rrr. So it's in context.
It's right in a language that a kid will understand and interpret.
Exactly.
Writing it,
yeah.
Which is, you've kind of got to take into account when you're writing for children. Yes, you could write it and it's not proper English or it's not English as it's supposed to be written. But then again, kids at that age don't understand proper English and how it's supposed to be written. They speak in a different language. My daughter and my son speak in a different language to me, even though we speak the same language.
Exactly.
So, it's just the way that kids interpret information. I mean, our brains are fully developed and theirs are still developing and they're learning every day. And what age group is it for?
Between the ages of 3 and 8.
My kids are 4 and 8, so I'll let us know when it's out, and I'll have a look at it.
Oh, will do. Yeah, you know, I've been trying to get it out. Now, it was really originally written for, you know, parents like yourself, who, if you reach your kids when they're going to bed, to read to them, so they'll listen, and hopefully they'll fall asleep, and then tomorrow you'll pick up the story and continue it, you know, and finish it.
Formats, is it going to be available on?
It's going to be in both PDF and EPUB. Uh-huh. and audiobook. So, but I'm working on, that's what I was doing today, you know, getting at the final touches, because I actually had to rewrite a few things. Like some of the, like I said, some of the names in the book, they're not, I'll say, proper. So when you look at it as a parent reading it first time, you're like, what is that? But I put a pronunciation with each name, with the characters, you know. So,
Well, that's it. I mean, my missus, yeah, I mean, she got friendly with a load of people who were into Twilight and fan fiction and things like that. She's always been a writer, and then I think three of the girls in America set up their own publishing company, and they basically said, put a thing out, we'll read people's stories, and if we like them, then we'll publish them. And my missus sent them something, they liked it, and they published it. They've published it on a story on its own through, what's it called, as a downloadable book, Kindle book.
Oh, Kindle book, yeah, because there's Kindle,
Yeah, but then there's a group of four in paperback as well, a group of four stories by four different authors in paperback, so that's kind of cool, and she's just had her second story accepted as well, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's good. That's really excellent.
Whether she makes £10 or £50 makes no difference to her. It's always been a dream of her to get published, so, and now she's achieved that dream.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, that's the thing. She considers herself an indie author, and by no means does she consider herself an author as yet, because she doesn't make any money out of it.
Yeah, well, she's published, and that's the main thing.
Well, then again, I know indie developers who, one in particular, who developed 10 games and released them on the Xbox Marketplace and never really sold anything in great numbers. The 11th game, however, sold millions. So, just if you love it, and just keep trying. That's what I suggest to anyone in life.
Yeah, good advice, sir.
Just keep trying.
That's me. That's why I'm so late, because I kind of forgot what my dream was, because I got into movies and went back to my video games and there's something I'm forgetting. Like, oh yes, my book. And now I'm finally, I'm still at the top of the hill, not ready to roll down just yet. So, but getting there. But yeah, I'll keep you informed.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's it. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Anyway, anything else?
I'll just go over my highlights quickly. First highlight, I've got two quick ones. Got a few games from Retro Station, a few SNES, NTSC games from the American versions. Got those, which I'll be showing off in my pickup video later this month.
Cool.
So happy to have those. And
I saw something in Retro Station that I want as well. Well, because I went on, yesterday, I can't remember, yesterday or Friday, and he's got a Sega Mega Jet in there.
Oh, yep, just seeing it, yep. As far as I know, it hasn't been sold yet, so unless the person doesn't come pick it up, you might be in a chance there, guys.
Yeah, that's the thing, he's asking £200 for it. £200 for a Sega Mega Jet, and for those people who do not know what a Sega Mega Jet is, it's basically a Mega Drive or a Genesis that was... you could hire on Japanese airlines to play Sega Mega Drive games.
Oh.
And they're really, really rare, especially boxed ones are really rare, because what the airlines used to do is just throw the boxes away. So, but these got a boxed Sega Mega Jet in there, and it's for £200. And I'm so tempted, because I get some money in a couple of weeks. Really, really tempted.
I was gonna say, how do you play? Is it like one of those little handheld systems where you plug it into the TV?
It's basically, if you look on Wikipedia at pictures, basically a little bit bigger than a cartridge. It's got a control pad on it. You slot the cartridge into it, and it slots into your television. basically like a plug and play kind of thing.
Okay.
You can play your Mega Drive games in there, but they are quite rare. I mean, I had an opportunity to buy one years ago for around £35, but I did not have the money at the time, and I've missed out. But I'm umming and ahhing about it.
Okay, I'm looking at a wiki, but it says used on JAL flights. Does that play?
Yeah, that's Japanese Airlines.
Okay, I'll say, okay, so it's not just region locked, just to Japan. Okay.
Japanese Airlines, but I believe you can play other games on it as well. But it was used on Japanese Airlines. That's what it was specifically made for. But yeah, they're quite rare, and I do want it. And if it's there in a couple of weeks, I'll be seriously considering buying it or making an offer on it at least. So.
Okay.
But we'll see. I've not decided yet. Mm-hmm. And something might come up and the money might be needed for something else. So
all right, yeah.
You never know. Because it's quite a lot of money to get rid of, especially for one thing. Mm-hmm. And my missus will always say I've got enough Mega Drives anyway, because I do own eight, I think. Is it eight or nine? I think, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, but that was my first slide of the pickup. So.
Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you there. Sorry.
Second one was a bet on the Grand National. One of the horses, each way, came second, so I got the money back for that. But I bet on another horse to come each way. Didn't quite get in the position they needed to for it to get given money back. But at the end of that day, I neither won anything nor lost anything, so I basically broke even. And I'm not.
People who don't know what the Grand National is, it's a horse race.
That takes place in the UK every year.
Yeah. It's the UK, so probably the most famous UK horse race. Probably like the Kentucky Derby of English racing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yep. Basically, the experience, I gave it a try because I'm not much of a gambler, really. Only sort of Grand Nationals, I might put something towards it, but. At the end of the day, it was the first time I actually got something back from it, but I didn't actually win. So it's a break even situation. So would have been nice to get something from it, but I'm just happy to have my money back. So I've lost nothing, I've gained nothing. So I'm happy with that. So maybe next year I'll win something, but who knows? So. That's pretty much it, I think.
Cool.
Yep.
Anyway, anything else? Because I'm going to go and watch some more bones in bed, I think.
Don't think so, Matt, but it's been another great episode. Thanks, guys, as always, and thanks, Warren.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Fantastic. And Microsoft, sack Adam Orff. That's a recommendation from me.
Yeah, and tell him to deal with it.
It wouldn't be beyond Microsoft to sack him for doing it, deal with it. That'd be just desserts, wouldn't it, really? But no, anyway, fantastic. And Microsoft, please do not make it an online only console.
So. Thank you, please do not.
Anyway, cheers, guys.
Yep, thanks, guys, as always. See you later.
Catch you later.
And bye-bye.
Yep, see you later, one. And everyone else, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, we'll speak to you later. Take care and good night.